Beginning to like your dad.
Have I ever told you the dishwasher story for my dad about my dad?
Okay. No.
You told it at McDane's. I think he was out of the room, but it was
so
good.
I come home from like my best friend's house in like elementary school. I'm like, dad. And he's like, what? I'm like, Brad's got this machine. It washes dishes. It's crazy. You just put the dishes in and it just like washes them. My dad was like, I got two of them. I'm like, what? No, we don't. He's like, yeah. One model's called Quinn. One model's called Darcy. If they ever stop washing dishes, then I'll just get rid of them and make two more. And I was like, all right, now I get a dishwasher. Now I get a dishwasher.
So I took a seat down at table four, present my pile, ready for more. And that's when that old judge unsaddled up. Said, listen, boys, it's a deck check. I'll be right back, I'll make it quick. And when they got through, it took the whole damn round. I built it one car at a time, and it cost me a pretty dime. You know it's me when I come shuffle up. I'm gonna draw my hand in style, I'm gonna drive down Taters wild, cause you can't tell what a single car is now. Yeah, HJ, this is the Singleton Slinger playing the Urine Zenith Pile. This is the Mismatch Maverick and Negatory. I'm playing original printings there. You might say I'm looking to tilt some folk. The winds come easier that way. What set is it? Well, it's a Conflux, Secret Player, Judge, Full Onslaught, Zendikar, FNM, My Sage, Caldham, MH1, Mystical Archive, Pile of Cards. It's an Ikoria GP promo, Revised Amalgam, and you live in 8, then you fire X your pile of cards. It's a war of the Spark Dungeon Dragon.
Hello and welcome to the Canadian Threshold, the legacy podcast that's giving away so much fucking Thoughtseize equity. My name's Quinn O'Mori, and I'm here as always with my co-host Jeff Kinsey.
Hello.
Was that one too obscure?
I had to think about it for a second, and then I thought, okay. You know, like, you know when you read, like, a pun online, and you're like, huh.
Wow, should we wind that back? Like, try and do it again?
I'm ready to argue against that fact.
Oh, wow. we're also joined by, officially, Puget Sound Battleground, second place winner, Elliot Fisher, who you just heard, officially.
Distinctly second.
If you look at MG Top 8.
It's good to be here. Second place is just first loser, but I'm still happy about it.
This man has a No Fear t-shirt in his closet. Now we can't wind it back now that we made the No Fear reference. And a man whose face just says fear, or perhaps shut the fuck up and start going, Ben McBain. Oh, well, you look unhappy. There we go.
It's just like says fear, and then you're like, shut the hell up and keep going. I'm like, yeah, that's probably more where I'm at. Yeah.
It looked more like you smelled a fart and didn't like it. Like that's, and there was an odor coming off that whole intro too, so I understand.
Well, the food in Tacoma, I don't know. Like, yeah, the last 2 days have been rough.
But... the aroma in Tacoma, as Jack put it.
Well, I was not there for the aroma in Tacoma, but if things are getting dirty, we can move forward with a little bit of housekeeping.
God, these transitions.
Oof, it's on fire.
We have one item on the housekeeping, which it's been a long time since this has happened. I think the last thing was 2019. The Harry Wong Memorial Classic is back at Connections, August 20th. Cash only, what is it, like $40 usually? I have all the details.
Think is 50.
$50. Okay. $50 cash only. You can pre-reg online. Registration day of is 10 to 11 a.m. 11 a.m. start, 48 player cap. Matt's accepting donations as well. Always a great event. What is it? Half the money goes to the BC Cancer Foundation or something. Lots of Harry's collection still to be given out as prizes, and just a great day. And notably also, unlike something Elliot competed in, a tournament that has a trophy.
I believe it's any proceeds go to BC Cancer. So the store doesn't make any money. They do compensate Harry's family for the cards that they use in the prize pool, is my understanding.
Perfect.
And to clarify the registration thing, you can pre-reg, and we'll have a link in the notes to that. And that basically you just sends a thing to Matt saying you're coming, and you hold your spot. And then you pay cash on the day, but you will want to do that, one, to hold your spot, and two, because it's $10 more expensive, you just show up and there happens to be space and you enter the tournament.
Oh, so like you pre-reg, like I'm going to pay in store, but it's just
And then you bring $50, and then on the day of, if it's like full and pre-reg people don't show up, then you can enter, but it's $10 more. But I mean, that $10 also goes to charity, so maybe that's okay.
Right. Yeah. Somehow hold your spot and also overpay.
It's a penalty, but for a good cause.
I think you clarified it, but just again, all entry fees gathered and proceeds are donated to BC Cancer Foundation.
Yeah, proceeds also are coming from the donations. They're taking donations in three ways. There's door prizes. There are random draws, I believe, or that's what a door prize is now that I think about it. There's door prizes. There's a second way. And then the third way is silent auction, and those proceeds also to the Cancer Foundation.
Yeah, all around great. For prize pool, the current prize pool, and I know the last time we attended this and the first time as well, it was like every single round was like, and you get a pony, and you get a pony. Like there was just prizes being thrown out everywhere. So it's probably like the number one event to attend, honestly. But currently it's Onslaught, a foil Onslaught flooded strand. And then second place, I don't know who would want this, but there's a Judge Foil Force of Will for second place. And then they're still sorting out the other prizes, but that's a pretty top heavy prize pool, I have to say.
I was just trying to look at my stats for previous Harry Wongs and scrolling through most of them. They're pretty bad.
Yeah. All the Zoomers come out to kill us old folk.
Yeah.
I top Ford one. I did lose to Brian's a Zoomer, right? Does he count?
He's a Zoomer. Sure.
Yeah. He just bolted me out. I just, you know, sometimes you play Burn, you're like, oh, fuck. And that happened. And then Ed beat me. We played off for third and fourth. Matt was like, you don't have to. I'm like, no, we're going to do it.
It's always a pleasure to play Ed. You can't say
that
no.
Too. The true prize was playing Ed. The truer prize was that he got a better dual end than me.
Sounds about right. Yeah. Anyway, I won't be able to make this. I'm always a little annoyed when events are announced a little late, like only 3 or 4 weeks notice. And, you know, you've already kind of loaded up other life events on those days. And I can't vigorously defend them from the onslaught of people. But like when, like Puget Sound Battleground, for example, big event, it's at like theoretically an adult awkward time where it's like, hey, it's August long weekend. Everyone wants to go do stuff with you. And you're saying no to them because you're going to a Magic card tournament. Because it's a heads up, I can like defend and get support for that. But when it's
we also had like a year, 2 years. Yeah,
exactly. But like the amount of things that like kept coming up, and I would just be like, no, I'm not going to that. I'm going to this. There was like 8 or 9 things on the last weekend that I kept saying no to that were coming up. But it's just like, hey, 3 weeks out, hey, can you come do this? I'm like, sorry, like I'm not just sitting on my hands for the weekend. So I'm always a little frustrated when they're announced late.
For sure.
But it's still all around a great event. And if you have the flexibility or the freedom to attend, then 100% do so.
So your problem is that you're not an alcoholic, whereas I am. So I only have plans at night. My daytime's fucking free. I do whatever.
You bring up a really good point. I'll take that into consideration.
I mean, I guess if you go really down the rabbit hole, you could be drinking in the daytime too, but come on, have a little class.
It's really a win-win, right? You like, you keep it in moderation only at night, 7 days a week, but like only at night. And then you get to do other things. It's great.
And it, for Quinn's case, it also fuels good results in Magic tournaments. Because the drunker you are the night before, the more likely you are to play Reanimator and then crush everybody.
Yeah, I'll just play a good deck instead of some shitty deck that I, that I like.
So I gather from that, Quinn, you're going to be attending.
I am. I think I'm going to doubleheader it. I think I kind of have to. I got an invite to the Arena Qualifier Open, which is the same day. So I think I'm going to wake up at 6 in the morning, play best of one, and try and jam. I mean, it might just be two matches, but hopefully like all seven matches in before 10 a.m.
Oh, it's just like a window. It's like you have seven best of one matches, finish them today.
You can register starting at 6 and then just start playing.
Sick.
What's it going to be like when you actually have to sideboard? Like, I know you've been living in this world where it's only best of one.
It's going to be like, fucked up. It's going to be really looking weird. He's going to be looking at like a seven card sideboard or whatever the hell you get in best of one.
That's another reason to play Reanimator, because you're just like, it smells like ley lines. I guess I get these serenities in here. All right, we're good to go. Or like sometimes you look at someone, you're like, I don't know, I can't read you. Wear tear. Run it back.
I feel like the best Reanimator sideboard that I see these days is the Show and Tell plan. That always fucking gets me.
I love the double direction, right? You put the squeeze on them.
Like Goblin to Bob, or?
Oh my God.
Fuck, that was good.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, those faithful livings have never been so good. Come on.
Jesus.
Tap the czar.
Okay, Quinn.
Elliot, are you going to be going to the Harry Wong?
I will definitely be in attendance. I have pre-registered already. I am player 7, according to Matt's email to me yesterday.
Well, that's player 4.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, anyone listening when this comes out, like, you should be pre-registered already. Do not miss out. I'm excited to kind of dig through and also find some things to donate, because you know, there's just, you pick up stuff over the years. It's good to clear out the closet with, you know, a weird secret lair or something.
I've still got that. Go ahead.
Genius or grifter? Donating the playmats I don't want. Like, it specifically says playmats, but I'm like, do people want these?
Are they like,
I mean,
good playmats?
They're like official GP ones. Like, they're not like, and by official I mean like they have Magic art on them. They're not like
GP Vancouver Bird Lady
2009 with some like fucking weird art they got.
Dude, the GP Vancouver one with the Slug Rider, that playmat is goated.
Like, it's like Daring Thief and like Silver Gale Adept and shit like that.
Masterpiece Pithing Needle.
Oh yeah, that
I
one.
Think those aren't that great. I'd say.
I recall being disappointed being given a playmat at previous events. We should probably cut that. Sorry,
right, no playmats. This is, well, it says playmats on the thing, so I was like, "Oh, really?"
I have sitting over here the double-sided Delver playmat and the sealed pack of Delver sleeves. Maybe I'll chuck that in. That's fun, right?
Actually, now I remember. They gave a playmat to every single player because enough were donated. And it was like, it was kind of like a pre-release where you like looked around and it was like someone two tables down got the Brainstorm mat and you're looking at your GP Pithing Needle. You're like,
It gets way worse than Pithing Needle.
What's that GamesCon with Goku and Yugi?
When they do like reprint ones too? Like the Silvergill Adept one, it's like the new art. I'm like, no one fucking wants that.
Put like, these fucking mats in the reserve list. Get out of here.
The OG one would have been so sweet.
Yeah.
Spoiler. Elliot met someone who might want that one.
I was just going to say, this person definitely wanted a fish mat. You can save that.
I didn't think I was going to be able to go. Well, I knew I wasn't able to go, but situations changed a little bit, and I think I can actually attend now, which is very cool. So I'm going to go and snag a spot as soon as we're done recording and hopefully not be like number 48 or whatever.
So Iona on white Sarah Emissary on lands, and then it's a slow lock, right?
Yeah.
All right, perfect.
It depends how disillusioned I am, which might be very.
Speaking of being disillusioned, why don't we talk to the thing that undercut all of your confidence, Puget Sound Battleground 4.
Really, I think talking about this, the only person who was a little disillusioned was probably myself. McBain rightly made some decisions based on prior feelings and had a fantastic time. I mean,
I got to spoil this. Did you not play Legacy?
Me?
Yeah.
I did not play Legacy.
You just did not play the main event.
I did not. I played
a main event.
I played the main event in my heart, which I played old school both days. I guess I could go first. Part of this was actually, you know, our little counseling session on the last podcast. We were like, McBain, are you bringing down like $60,000 of cards? And I was like, you bring up a good point.
So you only brought down 30,000?
Yeah, exactly. You know, half the risk. But I had also play tested with lands for the week and just absolutely got dunked on online and was really not impressed with the deck overall. And no matter what I tried like changing the build up a couple times and playing better. Nothing seemed to work. And I just like, you know, this isn't great. Everyone seems to be gunning for lands. And I made the decision I was either going to play Painter, which is what I played at like the first Puget Sound Battleground event, which I kind of felt kind of interesting about. And then I was also like, you know what? I've really been digging this old school deck and maybe I just play old school. Like how often do I get to play with these old school cards? And I came down with Death and Taxes, Painter, and my old school deck, and ultimately just chose to play old school both days. I had a phenomenal time. It was super fun. Opponents were awesome. And some of the games were just absolutely wild. And yeah, it was great. I don't regret it. And yeah, that was my event.
It was great having you do like an off time event. So like when we were waiting between rounds or whatever, it was just going, what the hell is McBain doing? And you go, look. That was a lot of fun.
I thought you were going to be like, he could grab us snacks and shit. Like that time that you were still in the GP and like I was out and you're like, can you grab me a sandwich? I was like, yeah, fuck, I guess so, sure.
Oh, that was great. That was a hot Jeff, I think.
It was.
Yeah, I'll say one story and then kind of end it. But notably to that point, Jeff, like you had all kind of gathered around and I was finishing one of my matches. And my opponent had gotten up to like 35 life or something with a Fountain of Youth, which is some...
Can you recap Fountain of Youth for me?
The dark artifact that costs zero and you just pay two and gain a life. And they had one in their sideboard.
I thought it was one.
No, it was two. And they had one in their sideboard and they drew it and they just kept gaining life. And I was like...
It's two and tap. Like you can't sink like a zillion mana into it.
Yeah, no,
it
was just like end eternal gain of life. And they were like 35 or something like that. And I just couldn't get a threat on the board. And I eventually got to this position where I went Savannah Lions and then I played an Order of Leap Bear. So I had two beaters. I untap and cast Time Walk, attack, pass to them at the end of their turn. I Psionic Blast, Lightning Bolt, and something else, maybe one more burn spell, and then like untap and sacrifice Lotus, tap all of my like 13 lands in play and just earthquake them for like the remaining of their life total after I attack in. It was so they went from like 30 something to the zero in just like basically one of their turns.
And that's sick.
It was pretty awesome.
You actually had another game that you mentioned to me that also involved a time walk that I wouldn't mind hearing you just recap again.
It was both my opponent and I kind of like stood back at the end of the game and said, you know, that was probably like the most perfect your deck could have done. So I had played a Savannah Lions and like an order again, or maybe it was just double Savannah Lions or Savannah Lions and a Mishra's, like two threats basically. And on my opponent's fourth turn, they just went Juzum Jin, which is pretty problematic for me. And on my turn, I draw the City in a Bottle. So I play a Strip Mine. So I have four mana now, and I go City in a Bottle, destroy a Juzum. My next two mana, I cast Time Walk. I attack with the Lion. And then on my extra turn, I attack with the Mishra's and the Lion, and then just double Strip Mine them. So they went from like, here's my turn four Juzum to like, I have no lands and my Juzum's gone and I can't play any more City of Brass. Like, it was just like absolutely backbreaking. And it was like perfectly on curve. And yeah, it was a very impressive showing of the deck for sure.
So you finished Saturday, what, 4-0?
Yeah, I was undefeated on Saturday. And then on Sunday night, we actually practiced at the... So Brendan Lensick was playing with us, who came down. And he was playing like what you have, Quinn, just like a mono black powerless deck. And we played a bunch of games and I kind of like showed him how he should sideboard and how he should play. And then sure enough, like round one of the next of the Sunday event, we get paired. And then he does exactly what I told him to do and just like takes me down in three games. And that was that. And then I lost to a deck player, a really good, proficient deck player who boarded in 13 cards and four of them were Ivory Tower.
I want you to know that I'm too lazy to do this. So I have to say that I thought about doing it. And that is clipping out the part from last episode where you talked about a different deck that was cheap, quote unquote. And I said, it has two cities in the bottle. And you're like, well, you have no brainstorm. It's not like you can dig for them. How good can they actually be?
I had two, I guess. I don't know.
You also used your prize tickets to like discount your next city in a bottle, right?
I did, yeah. So
that's beautiful.
I was the only cards I picked up a couple legacy playables, but the only real big purchase I made was a city in a bottle. And I had been looking on Discord and a couple other places to pick up a city in a bottle. And the prices at the vendors at the event were a little higher than I wanted them to be. And when I got the prize tickets, I had 80 prize tickets and they took them at like 1-to-1. So it was $80 towards a city in a bottle. And I was like, okay, I can do this. And so, yeah, that's how I got my second city in a bottle. I don't think anyone on earth needs three city in a bottles. I think two is the limit, but I think the card is super sweet and I enjoy playing it in old school. So I've got two.
I'm not judging extra copies of cards. I have five copies of Berserk currently. So
hell yeah. Small divergence. Did you recently pick up a new beta copy?
Yeah, I found one. It's like moderately played. Like it's like, there's like Edgeware, but it was $250 Canadian.
What?
Jesus.
Some guy we had like two friends in common on Facebook. He was selling like a moat and a bunch of stuff. And I was just like, yeah, man, like you just like have these cards from before? He's like, yeah, just looking at a box when I was a kid. And then he's like, I talked to my friend. I was like, this is like a really good deal. I'm like, I don't want to like talk myself out of a deal. He's like, no, I talked to my friend and he told me like, you know, what I can maybe get. But he's like, I don't want people to haggle with me. And I was like, you don't mind? I've run a jeweler's loop. I'm like, if I take a look. And he's like, no, I would check it out too. It's an expensive piece of cardboard. And I like looped it. And I was like, yeah, man, it looks great. Like, here's the cash. It's like a smooth deal. He's like, yeah, this is what I wanted. Someone to bring me cash in Vancouver, not tell me they wanted to undercut me, take the card and leave. And I was like, all right, man, have a good day. And he was like, yeah, thank you.
Beautiful transaction. Nice.
But I have three beta Berserks, which wow. I was like, when will we need three Berserks? In today's climate, apparently, as in fact, Lord and Savior Fenris Cloud has deemed correct.
Man, now you just need one alpha for the set.
Those are so expensive.
Elvis are so expensive.
I want my corners to match too.
Eh.
Is that moat still available? You got a price on that?
I don't know. I can look it up while Jeff, you can start talking about how your weekend went.
Perfect. So I played, unlike McBain, in the Legacy main event. I went back and forth on list beforehand. Was pretty sure I was playing DNT from some performance of the weekly and just kind of defaulting to, like, you know, stuff that I know. But that didn't stop me from bringing all of the Esper Vial stuff with me just in case.
Except for Force Negations, right?
Well, yeah, I don't own any, and I wasn't going to try too hard to give myself an out. Sometimes it's kind of fun to innovate and play something else, you know, because of necessity.
Are you going to pick up some Force Negations right now because they're super cheap?
Yeah, I am. Basically, okay. I gotta look and see some for, like, you know, what feels like the floor, and then just nab some because it just seems like a good card to have.
We missed the floor already.
Oh, shit.
On release week, I saw the lowest I saw was 42 Canadian. I'm like, eh. A little lower. It's release week. And now I can't find anything lower than 50 Canadian.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah. Buy them. Anything lower than 50, buy.
Yeah.
They were 40 American at the event. But there's also a thing called dollar cost averaging, Jeff. So, like, you know, you buy one, then you buy another, and you buy another, and they average out to some kind of price. And
some kind of price.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go on. D&T.
So I settled on playing D&T, and specifically red-white D&T, and then I made some more waffles day of on trying to find some cards to play something closer to, like, what Jason Murray's been playing, which is, like, having a Hammer Mage in the side, and he's got a Wear Tear in there.
I thought you were going to say good, but
that's basically, I played one match against Brendan, and we were testing these on 8-cast, and I was just like, I'm sick of this. I need a Hammer Mage. Like, Seattle seems to love their 8-cast. I need to get this thing in there. So I entered the event with red, white, D&T. Didn't do very well. I'm going to lay some blame on, I had someone come up at home, which led to me leaving that night and going home. Everything's fine. Everybody's okay. But, you know, I'm going to say there's a piece of that on my mind to try to justify playing quite badly. I played against a bunch of weird stuff. It was a weird event. The first match kind of felt like I set the tone a little bit, where I was playing as an opponent on Green White Depths, and, like, I felt really good because I'm playing as Colin a lot. And there's a moment where I just, like, had a natural Magus the Moon and I cast it. And the guy has Elvish Reclaimer out. And I'm, you know, I have the cards, man. I have, like, a Solitude, I have a sword. So I'm like, I have a plan. Like, I know what he's gonna do, and I have a plan. And he's like, Magus on the stack, like, puts his hand out on the stack. I'm like, okay. And he uses a Reclaimer and sacks and gets a Dark Depths, puts it into play. And I'm like, okay. He's like, Magus resolves. I'm like, okay. And then he goes, like, okay, swords your Magus. I'm like, okay. And then he's like, make Merit Lage. And it's like, no, like... You said, like, on the stack, like, it has ice counters. And he just had this look, you know, the look you can only get in the first round, in the first game of the day, when you're like, oh, fuck.
my God.
That was fun.
And that's when shit got real.
Yeah. You know, when you replay back in your head and you even hit that moment, and you're like, is my opponent angle shooting me? Like, oh, no, they're not. You're like, I corrected them. No. This is how I want to do it. And then I played against Displacer Kitten Yorion. I don't know. I feel like, Elliot, you know a name for this? Because I think this is what you were close to playing, which is like the anime dead Displacer Kitten, like Yorion, all kinds of stuff. There's like one anime dead because you can get it going with the kitten and, like, spells to bring loop stuff. It was wild.
I haven't messed around with anime dead. There's just, like, the kitten Minskin Boo build that's that PBDH was calling Pet Shop because kittens and hamsters. But yeah, I mean, Tristan was, like, playing around with a really messed up World Gorger kitten deck last week. That was dope.
Mm. So it must have been closer to that because it was closer to like Esper, but it had, you know, like the baubles and Teferis and all that stuff. But it was also just like a pile of, you know, control value. And we drew. And I played against one of the guys that came like fourth on Grixis control and got shit on. And then I played against the best match of the day. Esper. Turn one, like, Island, Aether Vial. And then he vials in. Fucking Judge's Familiar. The 1-1 flying bird. You can, like, Spiketail Hatchling and instant sorcery. And then he's playing, you know the name of this card, Elliot. The, like, 2-mana enchantment where, like, when a bird dies, you put a feather counter on it.
Commander All-Star, Soul Catcher's Airy.
Yes, it was just Esper Birds. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Very nice guy, very cool deck. I was sitting next to him at an earlier match and I heard him. I didn't see he was playing birds, but I heard somebody ask, okay, so you can just like forecast like whenever? And he's like, no, only on upkeep. And I was just like, somebody's playing that Greg Hatch deck from like, you know, 10 years ago. And then I got rolled by Bill on D&T, which is very upsetting. I wanted to prove myself in the mirror and I just got shit on. And then I was done. And then I was just looking to find the ride home. But, you know, nice to see everybody. Wish I could stick around for a bit longer and play in some more events. But, you know, great time to catch up with Jack and certainly watch everybody do well. Including a friend of mine, a frenemy of mine, for doing well. Elliot.
Yeah. Definite worst part of the weekend was losing Jeff, you know, seeing him go early, you know, shenanigans got kind of out of hand that night with cubing and various drafting and stuff. And it would have been great to have you in the mix. But yeah, an amazing event. Round one, I sit down and my opponent is on lands. The person to the left of them is on lands. And the person to the right is Lauren Mulligan on lands. I'm like, this is the most expensive table I've ever sat at. Like, there's tabbies everywhere. It was beautiful. And that kind of felt like my precursor to the event, where I ran into Depths, Loam, lands, all sorts of that stuff. Never saw Delver. Never saw it around. Only later in the event did we kind of like put two and two together and realize Delver players want to win. And there was an event that started 2 hours before Legacy that's actually an RCQ and actually pays more money. So of course all the Delver players just fucking went and played Modern instead. So it was very funny to be like, wait a minute. But yeah, so I was on 5-color Zenith, which kind of is a deck to beat up on Delver. So it was kind of like late in the day. I was like, this is like a really weird day that I, you know, didn't see the deck I want to, but still performed. Should I say a bit about the deck or?
Yeah, I just want to say too, it was crazy looking around how many Dark Depths were in that room. Like every single round that I was at, like I looked to the left, I looked to the right, like somebody's playing Dark Depths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Green White Depths has been on like a heater lately. So I think a lot of people see that as good. And I think just Seattle has a lands population as well. Also, I think like Loam has a ton of new toys. I think Connor was around playing Loam. Mm-hmm. So just like a lot of Depths going on, which actually was a very lucky road for me, because every time I played against someone with Dark Depths in their deck, I was lucky enough to have my Besage you and completely disrupt the combo, including some lines where they're like, okay, waste your wasteland, and you kind of Hollywood it and go like, oh shit, okay, I'll waste, you know, this thing, and they're like, make the token, and you're like, I have the Seju.
Didn't say the magic word.
Yeah, it's, you know. So that was fully amazing. I took a loss in round four to Carmate, soon to be top 8 mate, Kevin, best Kevin. on Doomsday, of which, you know, in the weeklies, he's been tearing me up just every single week. And so, you know, it was just kind of a foregone conclusion to me that I was like, well, I guess I'm going to die to you. We both.
I do want to say that, like, I definitely felt more, well, I didn't feel more prepared because I wasn't playing in it, but I felt like the people we went down with were more prepared because of the metagame that we have at the store and the players we have who are kind of specialists in certain decks. And like having Jeff or having me on lands or having Kevin on Doomsday and even like Colin on the Naya Depths or like varieties therein, it really gives you the muscles that you need to like play in some of those larger events. And you must have felt like running into some of your opponents just like, oh yeah, I know what's going on. I know what we're doing here.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, I feel with the specialists that we have like in our local community, it's, you're just like, you're in the danger room. Like you're in boot camp, just like learning every intricacy. So yeah, like without our hundreds of matches, McBain, there's no way, you know, I'm not getting a 2020 shoved down my throat at some point. But I managed to pretty much entirely avoid that fate.
It helps that like everybody locally, for the most part, just pretends Delver doesn't exist. So when you get to a tournament where all of the Zoomers are playing a different format, like, you know, we've prepared for this.
Yeah, we're living in the post-ban world. We just didn't realize it. But yeah, so pretty much after my loss to Kevin, I won out my next. Kevin's double drawing into top eight. I win sixth round. Think I'm in. And, you know, sit down against my opponent and I'm ready to handshake. And he's like, we have to play. I'm like, well, I'm bad at math, so I believe you. And it turns out to be a feature match, which is, you know, kind of something I've had maybe once, but always like, I don't know, just a bit of nerves about it.
Sure.
So winning a win-in in feature match is a high that I don't know if I can replicate. Like it's a really good feeling.
And winning on a mold of five.
Yeah. Yeah. And also commentators being like, what the fuck is this guy's ugly ass deck? Cause
I do want to say that like, I just a little issue I had, I really wish that Jordan Iasaka, former guest of the podcast, was able to do commentary.
As he's most well known.
Yeah, exactly. That's his headliner. But it was like these two modern players. Like there was a lot, they kind of flip-flop back and forth between modern and legacy. And I felt that like in a win and in for legacy, it would have been great to have legacy specialists commentating on that match. Like listening in on it, it was just kind of like the majority of the time was like, trying to figure out what your cards were, even Elliot, like there was, we can go, maybe you, in a moment you can go into like the style and aesthetics of your deck, but like it was more just like trying to understand what's going on, not like any kind of talk about the strategy and lines and where right, things could go wrong.
Very much a modern lens on like, oh, this is kind of like the four color deck in modern, and like,
yeah, that was literally the most it. That was the most intricate comment that was provided. It's like, hey, this is kind of like modern with dual lands. And you're like, thanks for that. Good comment. Oh, and you got an Uro in there too. Way to go.
Yeah, I mean, the four color or the five color Zenith deck is kind of like a modern deck put into legacy. You know, it's every fire design card possible. It's every, you know, fucking thing that we don't want to see in the format. But it's also just like such a ride to play. As far as like stylistically, so yeah, I started a big project of mismatching my entire deck, or mismatching like my general legacy collection. And it kind of came from like every time a new promo version of something came out, I was like, this is the sweetest. This is so cool. And wanting to collect those. And then like 30 seconds later, they release another promo version of the exact same card. I was like, well, I don't want to keep doing this 100 times. And like having, you know, like when you have like 16 versions of Ponder, you're kind of like, this is a mistake. So mismatching has been a way to like kind of celebrate all of these cool printings. And additionally, like it really tilts people, not like actually tilts people. Like I'm not out to like make people mad, but I think it's very much like people kind of have a like, what's going on here? What are you doing?
Okay. Question. What are the two cards that most, like if someone's going through your deck, just to like you hand it to them, you're like, here's what I'm playing, or they've like search pulling. What are the two cards that they like stop on? That are, it's like, you know, they're like the screeching tires. Like, what is this?
Recently it's been the Mark Pool Secret Lair Brainstorm. Cause it's not a well-known printing. Like there's already so many iconic printings of Brainstorm. And Legacy is the Brainstorm format. So people keep like seeing it. They're like, this is not a Brainstorm. Like, what is this? It's kind of cool art. It's, you know, the wizard guy in front of the pyramid, but he's doing like a slightly different deal. but yeah, that one. And then I think the one that's like really, really painful, because I was rewatching the feature match, the Secret Lair pixel art snow covered planes. Like it's like black text on like kind of a dark background. And it's like, you can't tell what it is. Like a lot of lands, you could be like, oh, that's an island. Oh, that's a mountain. And this one, it's just like, I don't know.
It's as close as you can get to like the Dryad Arbor problem without being a creature.
I was going to say, it's almost like the opposite of the Dryad Arbor problem, because the Dryad Arbor thing is like, it looks like a plains. It blends in with the other cards. And you look at Elia's stuff and you're like, these aren't magic cards. Like, what is this Graph Digger's Cage? Like these fucking Microsoft, you know, NT Windows.
just some beautiful stuff. So I managed to, this weekend, tick off a couple of the big boxes with, further mismatching my forces, picking up a Judge Foil and an Invocation, the two best forces.
I can't stomach. I remember Patrick Tilnery, I think that's his last name, Rug Delver Master from Vegas. He had all the Invocations in his deck. And you'd just be like, I don't know, is that a Stifle? Is that a Force? A Spell Pierce? I don't know. Like, I know a Daze. That looks really cool. I appreciate that one. Some bird thing waving its hands at me and like stopping something I'm doing. I don't know.
That is Kefnet. You will respect him. RIP to Kefnet.
The one for me that always gets
Wait, how did he die? I thought that was the whole thing about the gods.
Didn't his head get cracked open?
The scorpion god got him.
Doesn't he just get like put three deep into your library?
No, that's the god Eternal. That's him brought back as a zombie by Nicol Bolas.
What do those gods do?
Those ones are just indestructible.
How do you get your head bashed in if you're indestructible?
It's on a story spotlight card.
Noted Vorthos,
Elliot. That's how they tell the story these days. They don't print books anymore.
Yeah, isn't what card is it? Where like
it's a guy's card. Dead.
No, it's a rare. It's like Hour of Glory, and it's the scorpion god like exiling by like puncturing his head. It's gnarly, it's brutal.
I'm thinking of the aftermath. There's like a pop or a blue draw spell where it's just him and like fucking blood's running out of his head.
Tragic lesson.
Yeah.
I got love for Kefnet.
Just so ending the aesthetic piece, is there any like maybe one or two other cards that you just absolutely adore in your deck?
The Holy Grail?
In terms of like alternate art?
I really like the Black is Magic Ponder that one is just like an incredible art and such a cool frame treatment and everything. Or like the borderlessness, like really just kind of, it feels like it just flows onto the table from the card. I love the Japanese Strixhaven Mystical Archive Bolt. Not that I'm playing that one, but like that one's one that I'm a big, big fan of. Also the Cat Brainstorm, actually.
What? I was waiting for you to say that was one people stop on and go like, what is this?
Oh no, people know Cat Brainstorm. People love Cat Brainstorm. But yeah, like just so many good pieces, and I just love seeing like, you know, my graveyard full of like an Onslaught, Flooded Strand, and a, you know, weird Secret Lair, Misty Rainforest, and those kind of hanging out.
Yeah. The one that really jumps out of my mind is like your Primeval Titan. You've got that, what was the set? Keldheim. Those are really cool alternate treatments. The Primeval Titan's pretty unique. You don't see that every day. And even like the new Carpet of Lars that you have in the deck is really cool too.
Yeah, the carpet's sweet. It looks weird with the frame, but it is sweet. But yeah, so sorry, when my winning in, you know, we cut to top eight. Kevin and I are kind of like just riding high, like hugging each other, being like, oh my God, we both made it. Like, and then they post the standings and I'm fourth seed, he's fifth. So we just know we're instantly, and like reality sets in. We're like staring at each other. We're like, this is happening. And you know, I've literally lost like the last 10 matches to him. Somehow got there just mostly on the back of Leovold, just cheesed him out. It was, you know, unreal. He was, you know, like we were just still so happy to like be making it together that it was incredible. And then semis was,
you're saying he threw the match is what you're really saying, right?
You know what, he is a gentleman. I don't think he would do that just from like a stance of character, but also maybe he pities me enough.
Yeah, he really needs this. It is really cool, just as an aside, that there was what, like six of us that went down, or seven of us that went down to a 110 person event. And well, I don't even count in this, but to have two of you top eight is pretty impressive. So
it was amazing. Yeah. Such a wild experience. You know, he was my ride home. So there was a lot of jokes of like, you live here now, and you know, like, please don't leave me, after our match. And, then the semis was Ice Station Zebra, which is a fucking, that is something I don't think I'd ever think I'd see again, across the table.
Right. Like, is it Rodrigo? Yes or no?
So
yeah, exactly.
What is, for the listeners and for myself, what is Ice Station Zebra actually?
So it's essentially, and someone's going to be like, you idiot, you don't know anything. But it's essentially Tin Fins, but it has Depths combo thrown into it via a Living Wish package. So it plays Living Wishes, LEDs, and it kind of goes that way. So there's no real tendrils kill, but you can do a bunch of other shit, is my understanding of it. So my opponent got me game one with like a super fast Grizzlebrand, you know, attacking, and I was, okay, we're good, we're good. But games two and three, it was his hands went more to the Depths plan, and again my deck is just so suited to stop that dead in its track. There's flying blockers, there's Caracas, there's Biseju, there's swords, there's everything.
It's always nice to block a Grizzlebrand.
I was just reviewing the notes from Rodrigo and in the Slack when we were kind of asking about the nuances between the like Bizarro Storm versus Ice Station Zebra versus Tin Pins.
All the C-Lab decks.
Yeah, and one key difference in Ice Station Zebra is that you've got the Living Wish and you're playing a laboratory maniac in the sideboard.
Oh my God.
So you can get into these situations where you're just looping Children of Corliss, and then you just drain your library down, and Lab Man's there to win you the game.
Good old Lab Man. Nobody ever got mad at a Lab Man.
No, it was just... And you got the retro frame on the Lab Man. Like, who can say no to this?
I also in my head was just thinking, like, why not Thoracle? But Lab Man is great when you have six cards left in your deck and you draw seven with Grizzlebrand. Thassa's Oracle is not good there.
Yeah, I can just see the dream actually being like having one or zero cards in your library and you're like, pay seven, kill you.
And then that was it then, right? Then it was your finals matchup?
Yeah, so all through our semis match, the judges were checking in and being like, it's now 9:00. The hall closes at 10. At one point, they're like about to kick Kevin out. And, I'm like, no, he's with me. But they're like, we don't want to be here past 10 and we can't. So like, please hurry this up. And, we were playing a good pace. So we finished the semis like just before 10, and the judges were like, okay, so two finalists, Elliot, you just finished your match, the other guy's been waiting, we can go a quarter mile to some like hotel bar and finish in there.
Isn't there like a hotel like connected to the
Ramada?
No, there's like that next hotel, Marriott, the Murano or whatever.
Murano, that's it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. So it was the Murano, yeah. But they said it was like a quarter mile down the block. So I don't know.
It's like connected to the venue.
It's like 5 minute walk.
Interesting.
also, like a quarter mile is 400 meters.
They were trying to talk me out of it. I think I was.
They did a good job. Understand those judges.
They
judged you. Yeah, they fucking rules lawyered you.
So they were like, your opponent already wants to split. And I was like, cool, sold, done, split. Like, I've had the quarterfinals curse for a lot of events lately. So making it to semis and splitting top two is great for me. And then, I was like, congrats to my, not opponent, said, my name's Elliot. What were you on? I was on Zenith. And he said, I was on Merfolk. And I'm so disappointed. I can't believe I split with Merfolk, jokes, but I said Merfolk.
Whereas,
he's a nice guy.
Well, that's what you did. Like, if we were Zoomers, we would just cut you from the chat groups and you'd never hear from us again. That would be it.
6 months probation. So, it was incredible. It was just like such a wild day. There was a part where I was like, oh, Kevin knocked me out. Like, this is the beginning of the end. Seeing Kevin advance and then being like, wait a minute, I'm going to, just incredible. I feel like the event was, excellently run. Companion app was mostly okay. Just a amazing day.
That's sweet. I did hear there were some horror stories of the companion app. I don't think you can have a big event without it. I know when I went to do the old school event day two, you were like pre-regged for the event. It was sitting in your companion app. And then like the morning of when they went to like create the event, or to like push it through and make it real, it just like crashed immediately. So they had to call everyone up to the stage and like give them a new code and restart everything. And then sure enough, like a bunch of the old school people like show up a few minutes later after the new event round has started. They're like, hey, so when are we starting? And then it's like, okay, you got to get those people in again and redo it all. And it was just a not great experience. And I think if I recall, the modern event had something happen in the last round or something. where they had to like manually pair or something like that. But it just, it's one of those things where like, it's one of those apps where you're like, I will accept a 0% failure rate on this app. Like it cannot fail. When you have like 1,000-person event and then have to like manually do something, like it's just not possible. Like, so the fact that it does still crash and you still do run into issues is just mind-boggling.
I will say an upside for it is that on the way home, you know, Alistair and I were driving on the highway and I was able to still look in the event despite dropping. Like I can look at standings and like, you know, I wasn't seeing any updates in the Slack or anything. So I was just refreshing this and I was like, holy shit, like Elliot and Kevin are in top eight. And it's like refresh. It's like, holy shit, Elliot's like in the, you know, in the semis, like, holy shit. So that was nice. It's designed terribly. And even to get it to that point, it keeps like fucking flipping off of it and not working. But the ability to see that stuff is good.
Well, I agree with that. It is also like a Stockholm syndrome comment where you're like, well, at least this is cool. And
right. And it's like, we've had dog shit for fucking 20 years. And now it's like a little bit less.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you know, I remember Event Reporter like doing other stuff, but then you kind of have to remember Magic is like a very high profile game with a lot of money and it's been around for 30 years and we're still like, not doing it.
It, you know, as long as the shareholders for Hasbro are happy, I'm happy. Really, at the end of the day,
that's what gets me motivated to play Magic. So I've done so much of it lately.
Yeah. That's really cool, Elliot. Getting to actually, again, even follow along, just like back at the house that we had rented, and again, like getting those pushed updates of just like, hey, this is happening now, or this is happening. Like it was really cool to follow along, even if, you know, there was some slight resentment that it was you and not Kevin. But
he would have not split with Merfolk. He would have taken them to the hotel for sure.
No, they would just be like, it is ending at 10. He's like, I only need 5. And just immediately annihilate.
Fetch the underground seat. Dark ritual.
Does it resolve?
Yeah. Does your curse catcher have to say anything?
Get out of here.
Yeah. But yeah, and then afterwards, I just was riding so high on it that I didn't even play anything on Sunday. I just, you know, watched the homies play, wandered around, chatted with artists, just like all that stuff you really missed about a big, big Magic event.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good spot to kind of go into some positive closing. That's gas.
Oh, I did want to actually ask Elliot one thing too before we get into That's Gas.
Oh yeah.
About the deck. Obviously one of the things for this event, aside from there being a million maddening hexes around, it was, well, I guess in the vein of there being a million maddening hexes, this was kind of also a premier event for cards not a Magical line. And I know you were playing, I think one card, but two copies. Of something that I don't think was mentioned yet.
I skipped over that. So I was playing one, just main deck. I was considering going sideboard with a second copy of Minsk and Boo. It's a card I've been playing around with in the weeklies lately. So some backstory on me. I have a pet hamster. His name is Little Dude, and I love him very much. So, you know, Is this bald man with his pet hamster wrecking people kind of an avatar for me? Absolutely.
That's why you shaved your head.
But the card is immensely powerful. It is so unreal. In my first match, my opponent had 3 Maze of Iths running, and they were just, you know, stopping my entire team of just like random creatures, but one of which was the Boo token. And every turn, it just got 3 more counters. And eventually it was, what's your life total? 9? All right, I'll throw a 10-10 hamster at you. It killed, when I got paired against one of our friends, Francis, it murked a Narset when he was holding multiple pyroblasts as answers. And then the following turn drew 4 cards. I know Colin, he got to throw a Merit Lage at his opponent when they had a Caracas because they both kind of were like a little unsure of the timing, which technically the opponent had a window, but I don't think they recognized it.
I think it was a run afoul, but yeah.
Oh, it was run afoul. You're correct. But yeah, it's such a potent card. Multiple opponents, like over, you know, the last few weeks of me playing it, but during the event, going, it makes the token every turn. It makes, like, I kill it and it makes another one. And yeah, the card is very powerful, extremely sick. I fully advise playing it if you have the color requirements to do so.
I was standing behind you in, I don't know, like round 5 or something, just watching. And you weren't doing anything special. You just had a Minskin Boo, and then you made a 4/4 hamster, and then you threw it at something. And like, just watching you kill your guy, rip 4 cards, and like none of them go into the graveyard. None of them go back on top of the deck. You just draw 4 cards. Like, that looked like you were cheating. It was crazy.
Yeah, the act of palming just your top 4 cards feels incredible.
Yeah, actually it's insane.
Like it's like a super Narset. You're like, yeah, I don't impulse here. I just actually draw 4.
I'm not checking. It's not mulch. I'm not like, oh, these are lands, I keep them. It's just, these are Magic cards, I will take them.
Yeah, very strong. I definitely heard murmurs of people talking about Minskin Boo the entire weekend. Like, there was a bit of the Maddening Hex conversation, but there was a lot of like, it does what every turn? It draws card? Oh, what? Like, it's,
oh, but it only does it on creatures that have trample or haste. Well, they don't have any of those. Oh, the hamster has trample and haste.
the card has its one weakness, of course, and that's Caracas. So I advise, you know, my deck is leveraging 3 wastelands, a Life from the Loam, and a Ramen app. So being able to blow up a Caracas is really crucial to the card being good. So it seems amazing, and like Loam and other such strategies.
It'll only be a matter of time before Rug Delver comes back and adopts it.
Oh no.
I love it.
Well, it's like the worst kind of Delver. When your opponent plays Delver, then you're like, oh yeah, well, let's like, do a dance. And you're like, oh, you mid-range piece of shit. It's just fucking big. It's just a different Jund. I hate you.
Wet Jund.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah, it is massively disappointing that these cards aren't on Magic Online. And it's like, genuinely, like, I feel like we're approaching like a format bifurcation. Not that it would actually happen, but ultimately that you can't really look at an online list and be like, yeah, I'll play this in paper, or a paper list and go, okay, this will work online. And that's upsetting.
It's like old school Pauper, right? Like before they unified it, it's like, well, there's online ban list, and then there's like, you know, paper ban list.
Yeah, that doesn't help anyone. That just, to Elliot's fancy word, it just bifurcates the community, and no one wants that.
Yeah, small enough as it is.
Perfect. Yeah, I had to get in a question about the dude.
No, I should have said more about the hamster.
Here's a question for you related to that too. You don't have a custom token, do you? You need a little dude token.
I do not. I was definitely considering commissioning one. I think I'm gonna reach out and find out who's a good person online. Who's a real expert hamster artist?
Fucking Hamtaro.
Oh, if you find someone who's good and they can also do portraits, let me know.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to find, I want to get my Forcibles altered.
Oh. To a hamster?
Yeah. Into four hamsters.
Force of ham.
Just with big ass cheeks. That's the true force of will.
All right. That was my piece. We can move on to that's gas. More positive notes after talking about hamsters. Who's first? We have somebody first here, but I feel like that's almost the final word. So, McBain, I'm going to put you on. You know what? No, I'm going to put Quinn on the spot because he didn't show up.
To the what? I mean, oh, to the tournament.
Yeah.
I was like, what? It's like, I'm right here.
The thing we're talking about.
I see. Okay. Oh, shit. I thought I was going to go. I put myself last on the thing because I made the sheet.
I apologize, but don't you guys usually have a preamble to explain that's gas?
It's long enough. Who needs to know?
We've been doing this for a while.
I apologize.
We can also do that.
I forgot how fun it was as that's gas to cheer your friends on and to, you know, have that person like going deep in the tournament. And as people kind of fall away, you kind of get to follow that one person and you're all kind of rooting for them. That was sweet. I missed that. It was fun. And it just adds to that kind of gathering aspect that I miss it. When we had all the webcam stuff and no paper and going out to a big event with a crew, that whole cheering that one person on, or in this case, two people who went deep in an event, it was great. And it was gas. That's mine.
All right, Quinn, I'll take your bullet.
Sorry, I was like, am I going to go now? Or are you going
to? No, I got it. I have to shout out somebody who came down as well and was kind enough to give me a ride back. Alistair, you know, local friend. You know, he came down this is the same day we did just late at night. And then, you know, he stayed just for the one time in the event, played Curses, shout out Reaple Cheap, and then was kind enough to give me a ride home because I had to get back. And, you know, Alistair's somebody's been around the area for a couple of years, but he's also been gone for a while up north studying and, you know, going to school, doing like real things. And he's been back now for like, I don't know, a couple months or something. And he's come out to the weeklies, which is sick. It's good to see somebody who's like back in town. And, you know, first stop is like, well, where's Magic Stronghold? Let's go. Just a real dude, you know, and somebody I haven't got to spend that much time talking to. You know, you talk to him in the weeklies and like, you know him around for sure. And obviously we like him well enough to like invite him to share a place with us or anything. But getting to spend, you know, 3 hours or in the car just talking to him and getting to know him was a great experience. Super kind, you know, no questions or qualms at all about giving me a ride home or driving into Queensboro, where I don't think he'd been before. So big time shout out to Alistair.
Who would have thought after lending some random person Eldrazi, this is where we'd end up? But at the last Harry Wong Memorial, he was kind of like new to playing some Legacy and didn't really have, it'd been like it was like, I think even back when you could proxy events or something or decks, or I had been lending him something, but I lent him Eldrazi and he liked it so much that he just like went out and picked up the cards and crushed us with Eldrazi for a while before switching to Curses. But
he was telling me too that he just picked up, I think, his last City of Traders from crushing that Modern event a month ago or whatever. And I just love the spirit of somebody that like comes like second or something in a Modern event and then is like, oh, I'll take a City of Traders, please. Like, that's somebody who knows what is good in life.
Exactly.
You got to be careful with that shit, though, because I loaned Elliot like a Reanimator at a Harry Wong, and now look where we are.
Side note on Alistair in that Modern event, he played Enchantress and ran into Burn 3 times in the Swiss.
Oh, they just like can't beat you, right?
Solitary Confinement literally is a card in his deck. You cannot take damage or prevent all damage to you or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And they have so like good. Ley line postboard, probably.
Yep. What he was telling me, actually, he's got white ley line. They have Sterling Grove. Also. Yeah.
Ley line, Sterling Grove, kill you.
Yep. And then, you know, yeah, it sounds wild. Quinn?
I haven't done anything to do with magic in so long. It might be a repeat, to be honest. I have to sleeves. Check the 79 tapes. 79 plus secret episode tapes. That's Gas, our Lord and Savior, the hook-handed God himself, Grizzlebrand. I have not worshipped since before COVID-19, but I may have to go to the altar. As I was discussing with these gentlemen before the show, I have some things come up, and so I am playing the Harry Wong Memorial Classic. I was planning to like come out to Legacy a few times and to maybe like play a deck before this $50 tournament, but that might not happen. And so there's only one thing to do when you can't practice and be proficient in a deck is to throw your hands together and Dark Ritual, Entomb, Exhume, Fade, Force of Will, and kill your opponent on turn one.
You can grief us in two ways.
Yeah. The best thing about the turn one reanimator kills, they're not even dead. It's just a Grizzlebrand sitting there. What's the worst thing that happens?
Usually follow up with that.
Elliot, as our guest, you can take us home.
Absolutely. I want to shout out Jeff. Jeff shouted out his ride home. I want to shout out mine. Kevin M, Best Kevin, the Doomsday Killer. Just such an amazing dude. You know, we've all been hanging out with Kevin for quite a while. He had us over for, you know, an incredible draft or sealed thing at his place. Just like amazing. And just unreal. Again, you know, you don't know where people's magic trajectory is going. I don't think any of us were like, yeah, the Death Shadow guy is going to start making piles of five and 4-0-ing every single weekly for the next 3 months.
I had an idea once he made the Pro Tour. to be fair. Yeah.
I guess we should talk. Yeah, yeah. He does have a prowess outside of Legacy as well. So, Kevin, just incredible shout out to you. Thank you so much for my weekly ride to Stronghold as well. And just being like, you know, such good conversation and such a good friend. So really, really amazing. Congrats on top eight. And sorry, you can get me next time in the quarters.
Also, like a young man, he has like at least a decade to catch up with us to continue to put up results. Yeah.
That's why he's so good. Old. It's the Zoomer reflexes.
In this in this Twitch muscle based game that we all play.
I also feel like it's just worth restating. Like, I think outside of even the Pro Tour thing, which is a big thing, like I think just like objectively the best Magic player that plays a Stronghold, you know, like, you know, Orbit.
Nam's probably the best player.
But, no, that's true. I mean, in our
Legacy
multi-format, like limited, you know, master, like, you know, Doomsday, like just everything. He's got the brain.
I know Kevin's good because sometimes he'll be like, we have played some things like online together, you know, either like I'm watching him or more helpful, he's watching me, and he'll be like, why would we do this? And so many times I'm like, my brain's like, what the fuck would I do that? I guess I'll just do it. And then later I'll be like, oh fuck, that was good. Whereas like typically, like, I mean, Jeff, like we've played and I to be fair, it's like we play decks where it's the blind leading the blind, but you're like, how about this? I'm like, yeah, fuck, let's do that. That sounds great. Oh shit, that sucked. But rarely, you know, like I'm sure if it happened if we were playing D&T, but it could be like any deck and Kevin will be like, yeah, I would do this. And I'll be like, huh, I didn't really think of that. But like, okay, sure, let's try it. Oh, wow.
Yep. Another true level. Master.
Another level.
Payoff.
Elliot, I need to ask you a serious question about Kevin, though.
Please.
And about you and your winnings. I guess he had his own too, but you obviously got a larger sum.
It,
did you open up the wallet, think about like you know, again, like all the nice things he's done for you. And did you buy him a good copy of Duress? Because I'm just tired. I'm tired of like seeing that Ixalan zombie boat being like Duress you, and I'm like, oh come on.
So I believe it was like pre the Saturday event, and Kevin was going to the vendors, being like, okay, I gotta get better Duresses. And I believe they were charging $2. So I think there is still possibly an opportunity to upgrade his Duresses. I'll get him a nice mismatching set. And
not like that. That's like a monkey paw situation where I like give him a better Duress and then it's gonna be like Japanese secret layer.
Four better Duresses.
Yeah, exactly.
Two mystical archives, one Japanese alt art, one English. Perfect.
And to be fair, I will say I'm a big proponent of mismatching, but I definitely don't think it's a doomsday thing. You should not do it in doomsday. Seems like your opponent's going to look at your exiled cards and learn shit.
There's so many arts for Duress. I'm excited to hear what comes of this eventually.
There's one good one.
The Mystical Archive one's cool.
There's one that comes in the correct border.
Okay, how about the foil of that art, but it's the manga promo?
Oh yeah, that's for sure. It's the old border one, right?
You meant the good border, right? Like the seventh edition Duress?
Oh, actually, there's two. There's two. Seventh edition is good too. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. The old border promo, either the FNM, yeah, they're both great. If you want to be two foils, you know. For sure.
The original Duress for me is my forever Duress. But there is a Saga one.
So yeah, good. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. The comic DAC one's actually quite good, but come on, you gotta get that old border.
But you got the League of Legends one.
Oh, yeah.
Then you can play with your boogie bombs.
Fuck off.
Yeah, like, we're gonna...
Sorry, on the Duress note, the original art doesn't really make a lot of sense. Like, what the fuck is happening?
He's under duress.
It looks like Disenchant.
No, this thing is coming out of his chest, and he's like, what the fuck?
It's coming out of his chest? Oh, I thought it was like disintegrating.
It's disintegrating out of his chest.
Yeah, the quote is, "We decide who is worthy of our works." That is like...
Oh, so it is like an artifact disintegrating. That's Disenchant.
Yeah, this is very much Disenchant.
This is a crisis. I can't play Duress deck. I can't.
What if he's like Duress that his artifact is getting disenchanted?
That's you're under Duress. You're very sad.
See, like the seventh edition one, the flavor is better. Like the guy's like, you know, Professor Xavier-ing his brain.
You need the Home Alone your mind or I'll electrified change it for you. Sound when you're looking at the seventh edition Duress.
Okay, so what we're gonna do before the last thing we do is we're gonna get it down to four arts because there's a slightly more than four, and then we'll put it on Twitter as a poll.
Ooh, we're doing the
So obviously the Saga one is in.
Mm-hmm.
Art alone, border notwithstanding, I do think like Elf with the needles in her head is like quite good. You don't like the one we've made? Okay, let's do like nose. I think like Kolaghan or whoever that is yelling at Zurgo.
Get that out of there.
Fuck that shit. Okay, that's out.
The Innistrad one where it's just like a dude in chains.
Not okay. Yeah, it's like whatever. The alt art ones are fine. Like the sort of the mystical archive alt arts are fine. They're like not like
the Japanese one's sick.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like mild headache.
So Japanese one maybe. I think Ashiok like brain stealing DAC is pretty sick. Which is also a throwback to the Pete Venters art, which is someone's gonna know who those dudes are.
And I think for reference then, well, do we have four then?
So right now our front runners are Japanese alt art. Ashiok,
Saga, Ashiok,
Urza Saga, and Seventh Ed.
Okay, yeah, that's solid.
The ones that we have not talked about are, what is this?
League of Legends? So many.
The League of Legends was kind of sick.
The bullet eye one?
Yeah.
I'm gonna.
And then there's zombie in a boat, which is how you on Thursdays many times. So I'm like, fuck, really, Kevin? Like, please, just respect me a little bit.
That brings its own value, though.
Like, he's already like beating you pillar to post, right? He doesn't need to like, doesn't need to get you with the duress too.
Whoa, there's. Where is this from? There's actually like an I always thought the foil, like the original Urza Saga foil duress was the FNM one. But there's actually apparently an arena league that is like a foil Urza Saga duress. Like it's just a clean.
Yeah. That's before a real
the
F- one.
It doesn't have the FNM logo. Yeah.
Yeah. That one is the most expensive duress.
Easily.
That is gorgeous. Holy moly.
All right, we'll do the duress poll that we'll put up probably before this episode comes out, so you have no frame of reference. And unless there's anything else, I'm going to say we're going to see everyone in 2, 3, however many thresholds we feel like.
I'll see you guys in 2 thresholds, and you'll hear from us in 4.
Should we purposely delay a single threshold? So that we record directly after the tournament.
We can do that. That's a smart choice.
We'll talk about that. Really, so we might see in 3 thresholds, but
have you guys ever repeated a guess? Because I'm winning it.
Shit. We gotta get somebody else on.
Can't do a back to back.
No, we'll just ask Kevin to not throw the top 8 game against you. It's fine.
You were sowing seeds of doubt in my mind, and I didn't need this imposter syndrome.
Oh, I'll just play Painter again and rant you like I did on Thursday. So,
oh my god, that was beautiful.
I thought you had like important plans.
Well, yeah, I do have important plans, but
keeping Elliot from being on the podcast again.
Yeah, when Elliot and I were playing on Thursday, it was I could have just Painter grindstoned him, but instead I was like, I'm going to resolve this with Johnny Vengeance and go to town.
The only like good bad beat story is that Elliot, by top 8ing, but also beating Kevin, he kept Kevin off the podcast, even though he's never been on it. We've talked about Tempo Doomsday. We could have talked about actual Doomsday. But also, it would be rude for us to shit talk Kevin's duress while he was here. So I think it turned out okay.
Think of the shit talk we could do to Elliot's deck if he wasn't here.
Oh, that's true.
We don't have enough time in the world.
You guys, I'm going to drop it off at your house and you guys can do a live stream of thumbing through it and just like posting throw up emojis.
That'll be like that Leaving a Legacy episode.
Where Pat just like
talked about Magic Art. like really entertaining. One day. So like it's gonna be only one of us can make it. It'll be like Elliot, and you'll be like, "Do you want me to come on the podcast?" And like, no, just bring your deck.
I need to feel something. Yeah. I need to feel ill. Just
we'll review the art until we run out of time. It's great. All right, let's get
95 arts.
Elliot, thank you for joining us. Congratulations again on the excellent finish, Kevin. You're not here, but also congrats on the excellent finish. Everyone else who was with you, wow, way to let the team down. Only kidding. See you later. Thanks for listening.
Six.